I thought yesterday in practice, this team had its best attention to detail. They had a good idea of the defensive game plan, and really foul trouble in the first half didn't really allow us to execute the defensive game plan as I would have liked. And then, you know, throwing the thing around. We had 7 or 8 turnovers at half. We didn't really give ourselves a chance to exploit what we thought were some advantages. Second half, offense was terrific. There was a purpose on each play. Guys knew that we could play inside out in this game, and we were able to do that. I thought Rob Ferguson was especially aggressive on the bounce. And defensively, I think if we did not break down on offensive rebounding, we would be saying it was a great great defensive effort. So, in the atmosphere, coming off what we did Wednesday, kind of giving one away, not being poised enough, we're delighted to beat what I think is just a dynamite offensive team. I would like to one day coach offense the way that Glenn Miller has been able to coach offense with that team. My head was spinning from watching tape and trying to figure out what the plays were, what the calls were. Just one day I'd like to coach that way, but that's not to be right now.
Did you have any misgivings about getting into a high-paced game with them?
No, I think their numbers indicate. I mean, their Villanova game, their LaSalle game. I didn't think it was a game where we were going to hold them down because it's just too many. They have too many things that they do. And then when you factor in, you know, Danley having double figures when he hasn't, you know, he's averaging about 9. But recently I didn't think that he was playing that well for them. So you would think that Ahmad would be more of a defensive presence. He's a little confused right now. He thinks the game is an offensive game. We're going to have a meeting of the minds about it being a defensive game also.
Were you nonetheless seemed like you were making Penn play at a slower pace than it's played at the last couple of games. Did you see it that way as well?
Well, the zone certainly helped. There were possessions of zone in the first half, possessions of zone in the second half. And then offensively, they weren't really going to take us out of what we wanted to do. So we were lifting, trying to stay above the foul line and let Ahmad isolate and see where the double team would come from. So that's certainly, our possessions were longer, I think, if that's what you mean. On offense, our possessions were longer. It wasn't necessarily, I did think that we had stretches of defense where we really kind of dug in and extended the shot clock, so to speak. Yeah, I think that's true.
Phil, do you think your size got to them at both ends of the court in the second half?
Well, certainly at the offensive end of the floor, our size got to them. You know, and when you factor in Pat Kalathis as that third big guy, 23 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 assists for Pat Kalathis, and he's long. He's a hard matchup when he doesn't go and turn the ball over. You know, so to me, I do think that our size is a factor for, and we thought that was an advantage in this game.
You talked about Penn's offensive rebound a minute ago. Your team as well, 15 offensive rebounds on your end, and only had one more defensive rebound, so you were getting a lot of balls at your end.
Well, we had more fight in the second half. I didn't think we had as much fight in the first half. I thought we lost a lot of loose balls, and by our count, we had them for 11 second chance points at halftime, and that just doesn't make any sense. And it was guards. Guards had 5 of their eight offensive rebounds at halftime were their guards.
Phil, speaking of guards, can you talk about Darren and how he's played not only tonight but over the course of the season?
Well, Darren is a guard. I don't necessarily think he's a point guard. I don't think he's a two guard. And my concerns first are his defensive feet and awareness. And then his handle's not tight enough yet. I mean, I think he's got a long, long way to go. He's a bright kid. He's got a great smile. He started to work on his game. That necessarily hasn't been the case all year long. And, you know, he had the courage to take big shots. He knew that he could break down their defense and get inside their defense. And I was proud of the fact that he took shots. But then you can't have the ball taken from you twice and be a high-level player like that.
Right.
Phil, you said before, and other coaches have too, that playing in front of a full roster in a Big Five game gives young guys more experience than just the 40 minutes they played out there.
I've never said that.
Other guy, probably guys.
Some other guys have said that. No,
right, but do you think
I never follow the crowd. I would rather come up with something unique than some kind of cliche.
Well, do you think that's the case? Do you think they gain more experience than an ordinary game?
I think Philadelphia games give you, it's like a game and a half. It really is. It's a game and a half because you're playing not only in front of, and this is the way it should be. Every game should be played here. It should be half the crowd for one team, half the crowd for the other team, and there should be noise on every basket. So to me, I think that this is a good thing. I think college basketball is about experiences, and having a chance to play in a full Palestra is an experience that these guys should never, ever forget. This game almost didn't happen, by the way. When I found out that Danny Harrell wasn't working, like, how can you have a Big Five game and not have Danny? Like, whoever's in charge of Penn, they got to reevaluate their thinking. Danny Harrell did not work a Penn game and did not work a Big Five game. It's like the game didn't exist.
Do you remember the possession when Niven scored a little more than a minute to go? The shot clock almost ran out. Calathes missed a shot, got the rebound.
Yeah.
Do you remember that whole sequence up the floor? I mean, your lump had to be in your throat.
The sequence up the floor?
Yeah, just your guy.
No, I remember the part where Pat rebounded, and I wondered, where the heck is he going? We could pull the ball back out. I thought we had a great possession. We had a calm possession. There was a little bit of a flurry. It was right after Jabber's flurry. And we had a great, calm possession and got a good shot. Fur got a jumper. And then Pat got a jumper in front of our bench and got his ball back. And then Ahmad was on the weak side.
When you have a team this young, does it have the capacity to improve more than a team that has veteran players and has played a lot of the year?
I think that players get better by the amount of time they put into practice. So if you're a freshman and you put little in, you get little out. If you're an older guy and you just continue to put time in, then you get better. So I don't think it has anything to do with age. I think it has to do with commitment to practice. And I've had a series of conversations, particularly with our young players, now being back in school, that it's got to be basketball and it's got to be books. But I need to see more. Everybody's excited about these young guys. I need to see more time in the gym. And I'm starting to see that. I'm starting to see a lot of time in the gym. I'm starting to see guys study film. They're starting to catch on. But to me, it's how much are you willing to put in to practice by yourself, not just team practices. Because team practices start to taper off now. We're almost in February.
Considering that you had two guards getting
Derek Rivera was late for shoot-around. He was about a minute and a half late, and the only rule in our program is be on time. It's the only rule. It's the ultimate sign of respect. So to be late is disrespectful, and he needed to, and we all needed to be well aware that the foundations of the program are more important than any one game.
You talked about your practices in the last couple of days. You talked about your emphasis on practice. Given where this team is now, what it's done in the last week or so between the Xavier win, how much higher can it go this season?
I have no idea. I won't know again until Monday. Monday, we have a couple of day break here. We have a 3-day break, which is unusual. Usually you have 2 days to prepare. We have 3 days this week, and on Monday we'll do individual instruction for a good length of time, and I'll see where they are. The one thing that is clear to me is these guys don't lift their heads up. They kind of like keep their heads down and they'll respond. I mean, that was tough. We have had some games where we've given them away, and we did it again on Wednesday. But they came back Thursday, and what I've asked them to do is make sure that they trust. I know the rhythm. I know the rhythm. I know the tempo. I know where they are psychologically. So, like Thursday night, we practiced for 50 minutes. But it was intent. We wanted to make sure we understood Penn and the nuances of Penn's game. And then yesterday was a scouting report practice, which was a good practice.
Phil,
Phil, in your opinion, when does a team generally become who they are during the season when you coach them?
I don't know if there's an exact date or game. I'll know it when I see it. And I don't see it yet with this group. I'll know it, though. I know when I have them, 100% physically, mentally, emotionally, I'll know it. And I know I don't have it yet with this group. Or you wouldn't have a guy late for shoot-around. So to me, it's all the signs. It's all the signs. Who comes early to practice? Who's on the side? Who's talking to their teammates? That's one of the things that this team really, these guys really don't talk to each other. They miss a beat in communication, and because they don't talk, they don't listen to each other. So I'll know, but I don't have this group yet.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.